for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But people have always had that fascination with giants. But when we meet Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, we're certainly meeting a giant over 9 foot tall, certainly not a spindly guy, and I can tell you, not a gentle giant, not one of those gentle souls, just a man mountain. He was a Philistine warrior. He was a giant from Gath. His bronze coat of armor alone weighed over 9 stone. That's heavier than some of yous. And that's what he was carrying. He had on a bronze helmet. He had these leg greaves on his legs. The tip of his spear, just the iron tip of it, not the shaft, was 1 stone in weight. He was seriously a giant. He was a man full of defiance. He was a man filled with hatred against the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to read different verses throughout the evening, but 1 Samuel 17, 20 to 25. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse, that's his father, had directed. He reached the camp. This is the camp where his brothers were in this battle, the Israelites against the Philistines. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their battle lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." This account is written sometime after the incident where the prophet Samuel spoke, God spoke to Samuel. He said, "Go to Jesse's house. Go to Jesse of Bethlehem." And he's got sons. And you go to his house and to his sons, and I'm going to show you the man to anoint as the next king of Israel, because I've rejected Saul as the king of Israel. So Samuel duly, he got his horn filled with oil. He went to Jesse's house and he asked Jesse to see his sons. First one came out, Eliab. He was impressive. He was tall. He was handsome. He was just, Samuel thought, that's the man. And the Lord said something to him of incredible importance. "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." That's in 1 Samuel 16, 7. And so Samuel said, "That's not the one." One by one, 7 sons came out and stood before Samuel. The Lord says, "That's not the one." Samuel said to Jesse, "You know, do you have any more?" And there was David. David, the youngest son, who hadn't even been considered worthy of a viewing, who was out looking after his father's sheep. They had to call for him to come in. And as soon as Samuel saw David, the Lord says, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one to be the next king of Israel." Now, for the next number of years, David lived a varied life. He spent part of the time still looking after his father's flocks out in the hillside. The rest of his time, he would go to Saul, King Saul. And Saul got black moods and he was feeling angry, upset. And David would play skillfully on the harp and Saul's black moods would be eased. For David, he knew. He had been anointed to be the next king, but the time wasn't yet. It was a period of learning, a period of waiting, a period of growing, a period of developing his relationship with God as he pondered what lay ahead. He was learning to trust God. And you can see from David's responses that David's heart was totally filled with God. He was a God-focused man. I wonder this evening, and this is something just this afternoon as I was preparing, just sensed this afternoon. Are you in a time of waiting? You know, maybe God has already showed you something of your future. Or maybe you don't know, but you sense there's another step, there's something new for you, but you don't know what it is yet. And in this time, don't just whittle this time away. Don't be impatient, champing at the bit, as we would say. Use this time. Use this time to grow, to develop your relationship with God, to be God-focused, to fill your heart with love for God and his word and his way. It's a time of preparation. So on the occasion we're looking at, David's father Jesse said to David, "Come in from the field. I want you to go to see your three oldest brothers. They're on the battle lines. I want you to go see how the battle's going and bring back word to me. Take some grain, bread and cheese." David went about 15 miles from where he was. He got to the Israelite camp just as the army was going out to the battle positions. I think this is incredible. The Israelites were shouting the war cry. This is in verse 20 and 21. And they were drawing up their battle lines. They were facing the enemy. They were shouting the war cry. Drawing up the battle lines. Facing the enemy. You say, that's great. They'd been doing it for 40 days. Morning and evening. Morning and evening, the Israelites psyched themselves up. That's what we do, don't we? We psych ourselves up. Giving the war cry, assuming battle positions, but then the Philistines produced Goliath. And for the far past 40 days, morning and evening, he roared across the valley of Elah. Morning and evening, Goliath dominated their days. He dominated their minds. He dominated their thinking. No respite. And here's what he said, verses 8 to 11. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine says, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul, the king, supposed to be given the leadership, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Every day, for 40 days, twice a day, he shouted those words and he dismayed and terrified the Israelites. They were paralyzed. Goliath was right to ask, "Why do you come out and line up for battle?" Because although they lined up, they shouted the war cry, they psyched themselves up, but they never took on the foe. His size, his armor, his shouts, his threats completely intimidated them. They were demoralized. Who knows, the shouting a war cry and lining up for battle isn't the same as defeating the enemy. I want to ask you a simple question tonight. What giant is threatening to overcome you and your family and your situation. In the past week, maybe in the past month, maybe in the past year or even years, what has been dominating your thoughts when you wake up in the morning? What dominates your thinking as you're going to bed at night? Is there a situation, an ongoing situation that is threatening your family? What is the roar of Goliath in your heart? Have you become demoralized, intimidated, paralyzed by something in your life? All of the army of Israel ran from Goliath's roar in great fear. That's it. When the giant comes stomping out of the ranks, shouting his threats and his rages, we run away. You know something? Tonight you might have noticed the theme of our songs, victory. We can sing the victory songs. We can sing, marching on, I'm marching on, more than conqueror in every fight. I'm on the victory side. We can sing all the victory songs. We might even draw up the battle lines. But when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the crunch, do we run away? Do we think, I'm not going to win this battle? Do we think, this thing is too big for me? I can't take this on. Because we become obsessed by the size of the enemy or the problem. Afraid to confront the giant, even in our own homes. Afraid to confront the giant in our personal lives. Afraid maybe even to confront the giants in our churches because it seems too much. But make no mistake, if you don't defeat the giant, you'll be the giant's slave. The Israelites were focused on two things, the giant's size and the material gain for the person who would kill the giant. Saul had promised great wealth. He promised his own daughter in marriage. What a position. And he'd promised whole family tax exemption. That would be something for the person who killed Goliath. David heard Goliath shout. David wasn't interested in the money. David was not interested in the position. David wasn't interested in tax exemption. For David, it was all about God. It was all about God. For David, it was about spiritual reality. 1 Samuel 17:26. Listen to this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What a statement. His brothers were angry with him. They burned with anger. When David spoke those words, they were furious with him. They said, you're conceited. You have a wicked heart. Why? They tried to humiliate him. They said, who's looking after those few little sheep back in the desert? That's where you belong, David. You're the youngest. Who are you to come telling us what to do? They didn't want somebody, especially their youngest brother, coming into this war situation and speaking about God. They didn't want to make it about God. For them, it was just a giant and an army. If you're just looking at the things around you, the things that you personally and in your family that you're facing, if you're just looking at them through natural eyes, natural understanding, people that see them spiritually get on your nerves. But make no mistake about this, folks. The things that we are facing are not just natural. They are spiritual. The Goliath that is facing you is ultimately not about people. And there may be people involved, but it's not about people. It's not about circumstances. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. And to win the victory, you need to understand that it is a spiritual battle and be prepared to fight in a spiritual way. Listen to Paul speaking to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Saul got to hear about it. David's here. This guy's here, and he's speaking about the situation, and Saul sent for him. David told Saul, I'm going to go, I'll go, and I'll fight Goliath. And again, he reiterated to Saul, I will kill him because he has defied the armies of the living God. And he said to Saul, he said, the Lord helped me when I had to face a lion and a bear that were attacking my sheep. And the Lord delivered me from their hand, or from their paw rather, not the hand, their paw. And he said, so, in the case of Goliath, I will go out there and the Lord will deliver me. Some people make it all about David. David's courage, David's strength, all about David. It's not about David. It's about the Lord. The Lord will deliver me. What odds would you have given David against Goliath? The author Max Lucado, he wonders if we would give David better odds against Goliath than we would give ourselves against the giants that we're facing. He said, our Goliath doesn't carry a sword or a spear, but he prances through our offices, and I'm quoting from his book, he prances through our offices, our homes, and even our minds. He brings bills we can't pay, grades we can't make, people we can't please, children we can't control, pornography we can't resist, a career we can't escape, a past we can't shake, and a future we can't face. We all know the roar of Goliath in our lives, all of us. What's it been dominating your mind with, even this day? He keeps his threats and his shouts prominent in your thinking. Maybe you've become paralyzed and dismayed, but David knew it was time for Goliath to be dealt with. And here's his response, and I'm going to put the words on the screen. 1 Samuel 17, 41 to 47. Listen to these incredible words. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over. Oh, you can just see the look of utter, just looking him over. He looked him over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. It's a spiritual battle, folks. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the cart. You sound like we're totally bloodthirsty here. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword, or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Do you notice something there in that passage? Do you notice that it's all about the Lord? It's all about the Lord. It wasn't the case that David was ignoring Goliath's presence, or he wasn't pretending that Goliath wasn't a threat, but David's heart was on the Lord. He knew this wasn't just a Philistine army attacking the army of Israel. It was an attack that was undermining the confidence of the people of God in God. Goliath was spitting out words to demoralize and intimidate God's people. They were getting used to face an enemy, but never having the courage or power to overcome the enemy. Friends, what is it, even in your own family, what situation are you facing in your family? And it has gone on and on and on. And you feel demoralized by it, defeated by it. You hear the roar of Goliath, that basically you're going to be a slave to that situation. It's never going to change. Can I say to you tonight, it's not about your courage. It's not about your greatness. It's not about you. Fix your eyes on the Lord. He is our great champion. He is the one who wears the victor's crown. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against the people in our families or the situations. But in the place of prayer, we do warfare. We break through and we see him defeated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. David's focus was on God, but the people had to believe that God was fighting for them. David's armor was just a shepherd's tunic, his wee shepherd's pouch, 5 little stones from the stream, a shepherd's slingshot, and he went out there. But he was standing in the strength and power of the Lord God Almighty. Sometimes the enemy comes, Goliath comes, and he says, "You're nobody. You're nobody, you're powerless. You've never been very good at being a Christian. You've never been very good at prayer. And you feel you come." Friends, can I tell you, you're wearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what you're wearing. And when you come to pray, when you come to seek God for breakthrough in that area, you are saying, "Lord, fight on my behalf here. Breakthrough, Lord, defeat the enemy." As he stepped forward, he had to take that step. In fact, the Bible says he ran forward. God defeated the enemy. He moved forward, put a stone in the sling, whew, right in the forehead. He was down, face down. James says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But the first point is that, submit to God. All of us, I do believe that all of us, we've all got our own giants to face. Maybe you've been too afraid to step forward. Take that step forward. Confront the giant. Jesus is the champion of our faith. He is the one who is fighting for us. He has overcome. We are marching on in the Spirit's might, more than conqueror in every fight. Stop just giving the war cry. Stop just lining up in battle position. Stop just singing the victory songs. Step forward. Run forward. Run forward. Because the Lord will deliver you. The Lord will deliver you. Let's pray. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, Lord, you are amazing in your power. Awesome in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, powerful Lord in battle, doing wonders. You are our God. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand that the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world, but they are the weapons that you have given us that are powerful to the tearing down of strongholds. And I pray, Lord, over this congregation and over myself, Lord, that your Spirit would come on us. And like David, our heart would be focused on you, Lord, on the honor and glory of your name over our families, Lord, over situations that maybe for years have been destructive and have been brought heartbreak. Lord, we come tonight and we take that step forward in faith for families, Lord. And we just pray, Lord God, that the victory may come as we step forward in the name of Jesus. Oh God, stir up our hearts that our eyes may not be on ourselves, but on you, the champion of our faith. Oh God, you are an amazing Lord. You love us, Lord. You love to act on behalf of those who love you. Lord, just speak. Speak to those who have become downhearted and who feel that they have nothing sort of to give and just maybe haven't got the energy. Stir in the hearts again, Lord, to remind them that they are sons of the living God. You have clothed them in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That they have confidence to approach the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. We've heard your word tonight, Lord. I pray for each one of us that we would take it into our hearts and we would mix it with faith and that we would press through in Jesus' name. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.